Gary Lightbody is the singer and songwriter for the Irish-Scottish band Snow Patrol. Their concert in Auckland soon is billed as live and acoustic. They're coming back. The Snow Patrol story and his own has been full of brilliant successes but also struggles for survival. They made a triumphant return with their latest album, Wildness, after a long absence from music. Gary Lightbody struggled through alcoholism, depression and writer's block, and with the mental decline of his father. But they are back, still brilliant and beloved. Here is our chat with Gary Lightbody.
Hi there, Jim. How's it going?
Very well. New Zealanders have always liked Snow Patrol a lot. Is it the Irishness and the Scottishness in us? Is it the Celtic melancholy? Do you think we understand where you're coming from more than maybe some other people in the world?
You know, I guess there's a feeling of isolation that I think growing up in Northern Ireland, there was definitely a feeling of isolation that we felt there. I mean, we're, you know, fairly close to Europe, but we felt a million miles away from it, really, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s. So I don't know whether there is that sort of built-in melancholy and isolation sort of feeling that, you know, there is a kinship between us in that way.
Yeah, I think there is a kinship. There was a seven-year gap between Fallen Empires and Wildness last year, although you stayed busy in other areas. But for five of those 7 years between the albums, I have read you say you were hammered. You had your personal problems with, and that included the demon drink, but you've been sober for a wee amount of time now, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been sober. In June it'll be 3 years. So, you know, it's not a lifetime yet. There's still more time I've spent drunk than I have spent sober, that's for sure. But, you know, it's certainly a different way of looking at the world, you know, through clear, or maybe not through completely clear eyes, but through a lot clearer eyes and a lot clearer mind. I just got to a stage where I just knew that it was time to stop, and so I did. Not that it wasn't challenging at times, but I know that people have a lot harder time getting off drink than I did, you know, and I feel very lucky because of that. In Ireland, in general, there is a sort of a feeling that if you're not drinking, you're not an alcoholic. Whereas in America, you can be an alcoholic and not have had a drink in 25 years. You know, it's a different kind of mindset. You know, I think you either drink or you don't in Ireland, and that's the way I see it.
A lot of artists dare not give up the drink because they are afraid they'll lose their muse and their edge. They're afraid of being marooned in Blandland. That hasn't happened to you. But were you worried about it?
Yeah, some people will be listening to this thinking, what edge did Gary Lightbody ever have? it was a slight concern, like, what will there be to talk about, I guess, if I'm not out experiencing the world? And I have experienced it less sober, that's for sure. I don't go out at night unless we're playing a gig. And so I am less of a social animal these days, that's for sure. But I think you start to look inward, or you look even further outward to the wider world, you know, beyond your sort of circle of friends. And so your perception both expands inwardly and expands externally. So I don't think that it's caused anything but a boon in my muse, rather than some sort of surfeit and things to sing about.
Yeah.
Write about.
A calamity magnet, I think you called yourself, and you were pretty messy. The song Disaster Button from 100 Million Suns is about that, and how after the gig was over, you would be just a ripped up ticket stub. And what a great line that is. Out of interest, who was it all? Who was it all? What was it that got you sober in the end?
Well, it was a number of things and a number of people, you know. A few friends had voiced some concerns, and I'm always grateful. You're grateful for those in hindsight, but you're not entirely grateful of those at the time, you know. It's like, how dare someone tell me I'm drinking too much, you might be thinking, or even saying out loud. But, yeah, there's a few specific people. One person I wrote the song Heal Me from the new album about, That person saved my life on several occasions, and certainly saved me from destroying my life with booze. And I'm forever grateful. And I'm sure there'll be more songs about her. My dad always told me never drink alone, and I was doing that, you know. And that's when you know it's not doing you any favors.
I assumed Heal Me was about your therapist, actually. That was the inference I took. No, it wasn't.
No, it's not. But I have, therapy's been very helpful. That's not,
right.
It's not an easy person. It's not an easy thing for an Irish person to get involved in therapy. But one of my best friends, the song Heal Me is about, and she's an incredible person.
I've been wasted in the arms of everyone. I wasn't looking for you, but I think maybe I was and didn't know. Oh, this is love like wildness, coursing through you like a drug. And this is hurt like
some pretty heavy and personal subject matter on Wildness. You know, there's Don't Give In about depression. And there, speaking of your dad, there is Soon with its family home videos on the video for it, which tackles the topic of your dad Jack's dementia. In fact, you sing a bit of the song in the official video for Soon while sitting next to your dad. That is very personal.
Yes, that was It's interesting that, you know, that was the first song ever in 25 years of Snow Patrol that I ever wrote the lyrics first. So I normally write the melody and then I'll write the lyrics either soon after or much later, depending on how I feel about it. But the lyrics came first and then I wrote the music, which is very, very strange kind of way around for me. But it was almost like in itself sort of teaching me something new, which I guess is another thing with dementia. You know, you're trying to make people use their minds differently, you know, to try and stem the tide. So it was kind of a gift, that song, in a lot of ways. And it also brought me and my dad closer together, too, because that video was one of the best days I ever had with him. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. Getting to sit with him, watching old home movies. He was just making me laugh the whole time. Some of those occasions are actually left in the video. So I think that video is a tough watch for some people, especially if they've gone through this with a family member. But I think there's a lot of joy and affection and love in that video as well. You know, it's not just a sad video, although it is. Quite, I've heard people say that they'll never watch it again. But that's to be expected, I think, with the subject matter.
Soon you'll not remember anything, but then someday neither will I. Tomorrow, though, there's nothing to fear, because
It was your father, actually, that long ago gave you the central idea on chasing cars. It was something he said.
It was, yeah. But, I mean, my dad used to just take the, we call it take the piss, Maxim. Do you call it take the piss in New Zealand?
Yeah.
he used to take the mickey out of me all the time, you know, and I was just a kid. I mean, I didn't really have girlfriends growing up. I was a dorky, geeky, very, very shy, very, very sensitive kind of kid. And I tried my best. My dad used to say, if I was ever trying to woo a girl, I'd be like doing things like, you know, sending them poetry and stuff, you know, stuff that just just makes girls run for the hills. But he'd be like, you're like a dog chasing a car. You wouldn't know what to do with it if you caught it. That was his line that he used to rib me with. And I thought I would immortalize it in a song. So it doesn't really mean that. It doesn't mean that at all in the song. It's just a little reference to him in the nod to him in music, which I do a lot. You know, he says a lot of things that have always stuck with me that I use in reference in songs.
How is he, by the way?
In the last 6 months or so, he's sort of plateaued a little bit. That hasn't gone any worse, which is great, because obviously it's degenerative. But he's holding up okay at the moment. My mum, typical Irish mother, is extremely stressed though. But she's looking after him, and she won't accept any help at all, which is very frustrating. But that's my mum, as it is a lot of mums, a lot of family members. When that happens in a family, they want to be the one that carries that burden.
Yeah, exactly. You do a lot of side projects, Ed Sheeran, Taylor Swift. What do you make of her reinventings? Just really quickly, do you like me?
Do I like what? Sorry.
Do you like me?
Do I like me? Oh, the new Taylor Swift song?
Yes. I didn't mean
sorry,
me.
I was... strange way to end an interview, but I do. I mean, the songs that I'm drawn to of Taylor's are the ones that, you know, she's sort of unabashedly herself, and just clearly just enjoying herself, you know, and that's what that sort of strikes me, that she's really having a lot of fun, you know, and I like it when an artist has fun. That's it shows, you know, so that's good. And you know, working with Ed and you know, is one of the great joys of my life, and hopefully that'll happen. That'll keep going for as long as he wants to. But so, you know, doing things like that are just kind of, you know, cherries on top of cakes. You know, it's just a joy.
When you sang with her on The Last Time, it was actually like you belonged together vocally, actually. So do you reckon there'll be another time, or is she just so mercurial that won't happen?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Probably not. Of course, I'm open to it. I'm not making a plea to her on the radio. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, she's in a position, and has been for years, where she can work with anybody, you know what I mean? So I'm sure there's a lot of other people on her list before she gets back around to me again.
You and Ed Sheeran are both seemingly, from the outside anyway, very relaxed and affable and likeable men. Maybe he has better luck with girls, or so you say. Just getting back to Don't Give In, because you mentioned it on Wildness. There's a line in it which says, "This is your grace, and I don't know why, and I don't know why. This is your grace, I don't know why." Which I wondered about, and I wondered if you thought that depression, which you have suffered from, depression has a purpose. Alcoholism has a purpose. We're meant to learn through these things. Is that what you think?
It's astonishing that you have just you're the first person that's ever said it like that, and it's very similar to what I intended. And I'm almost welling up in tears here, sitting in Chicago. I think that, you know, we are. The sum of all our parts, you know, good and bad. It's not, you know, like I don't. I might have changed a few times when I said things to somebody that hurt them that I would prefer not to have said. But everything that has happened in my life, I'm glad that it happened the way it did, and I'm glad because it brought me here, and I know, not that I know a tiny, tiny, tiny amount, really, but I know a hell of a lot more than I did 5 years ago or even 3 years ago, and I'm very grateful for the life that I have now, and it wouldn't have happened the way it happened without a lot of the things that I wrote about on this record.
I don't know why. This is your grace, and I don't know why. And I don't know why.
You are lucky. I mean, your voice is unimpaired on songs like, you know, "Heal Me," and which is probably the first one people hear off the album. And it's vibrant. You presumably feel a bit more alive. So you've come through, and I guess that means you're grateful.
Very, very grateful. You know, we had 10 years at the start of our career where we didn't have any any success. So when that happens, it ingrained into you what it's like to not have success. You know, I'll never forget what it's like to be in a band that's playing to hardly anybody and not selling any records and getting dropped from record labels and getting screwed over by managers and things like that. I'll never forget those things. So it always makes me very grateful for what we have now, which is, you know, light years away from that, you know, and I'm very, very grateful. I'll never take it for granted.
I wondered about those first 10 years because after that there was almost sudden global fame. And I know you were enormously frustrated, and a lot of people know that feeling as they slog away in bands. Did you actually think you would never make it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, you know, we'd all had other jobs anyway. I worked in a lot of bars, and everybody else had other work. I think it was when I first decided that it's time for me to get an actual proper job, and I went for job training, you know, through the job center, through the unemployment center, and to train in an office. It's not like long term training, just like for call center work and things like that. It's like a day's training, and then I did call center work for a very, very short amount of time and realized I can't do this. I just cannot do it. It's just not in my DNA to be able to do this. I have to give it another go. And after that I wrote Run and Chocolate and Spitting Games and I'd Be Dead and most of the third album, Final Straw, which is the first album that was successful. After that, you know, it was a kick in the ass that I kind of needed to kind of go, yeah, I can't do anything else. I don't have any skills, none, zero skills. I can't even like phone people up and that's probably the worst thing I could have been contemplating doing, because I just hate the fact of bothering someone. I really hate bothering anybody. It's just completely against my instinct, you know. So having to do it for work is like couldn't settle into it.
Lovely to talk to you, Gary. Everybody's looking forward to your coming down here, all your fans, and it'll be great to see you. Thanks very much for your time.
We can't wait to get back to New Zealand. We're really excited about it. It was great to talk to you, Jim. Really great. My voice, I'll be right beside you.
Gary Lightbody and Snow Patrol, soon to play Auckland. And the house will be full.